We will talk about the state of Wisconsin politics, current issues in the news, and give you an opportunity to say goodbye to two longtime retiring state senators this hour. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, April 3rd. Four state senators gave their farewell addresses to the Senate on Tuesday, three Democrats and one Republican. We will talk with Republican State Senator Dale Schultz after 7:30 this morning. And in this half hour, we will welcome your calls for State Senator Bob Jauch, a Democrat from Poplar, who was first elected in 1982 and decided earlier this year that he would not run again. Senator Jauch has worked on many issues over the years, obviously, but he was most recently in the news frequently for his work on trying to find a bipartisan compromise on efforts to change state law related to the proposed iron ore mine in northern Wisconsin. Good morning, Senator Jauch.
Good morning and welcome back.
Thank you very much. It was warmer in Belize. And how's your snow?
Well, we're expecting anywhere from 12 to 18 inches. That's why I'm heading north. I'm in Rice Lake, but I'm not north yet.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's just not fair. Sorry about that. We spoke to you when you decided not to run for office again earlier this year. But for those who weren't listening, did the divisive state of Wisconsin politics today and being in the minority party right now play into your decision?
I don't think playing into the I think that democracy as we know it in Wisconsin is on life support. That has no bearing on whether I'm in the minority. I think that the citizenry in our democracy is clearly on the precipice by the extreme actions of legislators and the governor who are stifling the citizens' ability to participate as voters, doing everything they can to prevent citizen participation and opening the doors for more money in the process. That's perhaps one of the main factors that scares me the most and had a bearing on my decision. I'll admit that I and Senator Schultz have been there for 32 years. We travel, we work hard. I'm 69. We're nearing the point where you have to wonder whether you can continue to maintain that pace and do the job that the people expect and meet the standards we establish. But clearly, if it was a more enjoyable, productive environment that we're used to when we came into the legislature up to the last 25 years, I think it might have made a different. It might have been a different decision. This is an environment where the extremists really control the legislative process.
Why would Governor Walker and the Republicans in the legislature want to put democracy on life support? What extreme measures are they doing that's harming Wisconsin?
What's scary is that I don't think they understand that they are. If you look at the last legislative session, which we just completed 2 days ago, I think it's defined by one set of bills, and the governor just signed them, so-called election reform bills. Well, who's history going to measure, judge those, name those bills after? Because those bills deliberately restrict the ability of the public to participate in casting absentee ballots and voting in elections, and at the same time, on the same day, the legislature agreed to give lobbyists greater opportunity to write campaign checks. And so I don't think they have a respect for the institution. I just don't think they have any real regard to what is in the best interest of all of the citizens in the state. They play to their base. This governor wants to run for president of the United States. Republican candidates in particular, or legislators in particular, have to worry about every vote they take because they will be, they will face a primary candidate. Look at Representative Costell and Luther Olson, who have been condemned by three Republican district caucuses because they didn't take the position that those groups wanted. And I think that's what's frightening, is that this doesn't look like the people's legislature. It looks like the special interest and extremist legislature.
So you spoke at some length in your farewell address on Tuesday about the need for compromise in the state legislature. How can bipartisanship and compromise be restored?
Well, I think the public has to insist upon it. Senator Schultz, Senator Cullen, and I all emphasized the same message, that we come from a tradition of cooperation and recognition as public officials that politics is the art of solving problems. I think Arthur Schlesinger said once that at heart, politics is about the search for remedy and finding a way to fix problems that beset us. Well, that's the way we did things, whether I was in the minority or majority, or whether Senator Schultz was in the majority or the minority. You get to know your colleagues and you work together to solve problems. I worry, to tell you the truth, that unless the public insists upon it, by really staying involved in the next election, not just demanding that people take the position they want, but that they get commitments to really work for bipartisanship, that it could be lost. I thought that the story of the week was Representative Costell's retirement announcement, because and Representative Crawford's winning in mayor. You're losing any sense of moderation. It's almost all gone in the assembly, and there are a few voices left. Thank God Dale Schultz has been there for 32 years, particularly the last 4 years, because he has been a voice of reason and responsibility and integrity and dedication to solving problems and setting an example. We will only know in the next few years whether or not other legislators will pick up and try to make the process work.
Yeah. You did work with Senator Schultz on more than a couple of issues, but mainly the mining issue. How might bipartisanship have changed the situation when it comes to that proposed iron mine in northern Wisconsin?
Well, we need to understand that in Wisconsin, the tradition has been cooperation, particularly on environmental issues. Every major environmental policy in the state of Wisconsin, almost every major environmental policy, has been developed through consensus, sometimes through a lengthy 2 to 4 year process. But in the end, a consensus, people working to solve the problem and adopting change to protect our natural resources, is adopted with a strong bipartisan vote, whether it be our wetland policy or whether it be mining. Our original mining law was developed by a lengthy a process where there was equal participation. Gosh, we all know what was wrong with the last time, is that this led that the mining company literally wrote the initial bill and then was given veto authority over what changes were made. That's really frightening to me. And I think what Senator Schultz really had done is add credibility to the notion of bipartisanship. Because if Senator Cullen and I had produced the same product, but it was only a Democratic product, it would have been viewed as partisan. But Senator Schultz's willingness to stand tall and work hard to develop a thoughtful proposal, I think gave people a good example of how this place can and should work.
Speaking of the mine, five pro-mine candidates who were backed by Americans for Prosperity, a Tea Party group, just won seats on the Iron County Board in this week's election. Four others who also had the same support lost. I think I have those numbers right. What does this say to you?
Well, first of all, we ought to understand that the Supreme Court decision yesterday is also, or this week, is all, yesterday is also a very frightening assault on American democracy, opens the floodgates for even more money to be spent. And the Americans for Prosperity got involved in two particular issue races, county board races in Iron County and in Kenosha. And in Iron County, I think what they did was a favor. They sent mailings up there that really angered people that they would, this organization who didn't really care about their overall quality of life and issues that affected them, is trying to buy the election. I think that while the Americans for Prosperity will declare 64% success, ought to recognize that fewer than 200 people voted in most of the races, and in four of those races, the voters, in fact, refuted the Americans for Prosperity and elected the other person, the person they were attacking. So I think it's scary that they're getting involved. It's good that the people in Iron County paid attention and sent a message back.
We are talking with Bob Jauch. He is a Democratic state senator from Poplar. He is not going to be running for re-election after 32 years in the state legislature. He gave his farewell address, his final speech on the Senate floor on Tuesday, and we are talking with him about his time in public office and the state of bipartisanship and more, and welcoming your questions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking in this half hour with Democratic State Senator Bob Jauch, who gave his farewell speech on the Senate floor on Tuesday. And we're welcoming your questions for him and any thoughts you might have on the state of Wisconsin politics today. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Well, we have a lot of callers who want to join in, so let's go to Vicki in Madison first. Hello, Vicki.
Thanks for taking my call, Joy. I just find it very interesting that Governor Walker has signed all these, controversial bills in private. And I think if people, if this was publicized, the bills that he's been signing that are so controversial, I think people would be rather disgusted with what's happening. And, he signed the tax reform bills, shall we call them, giving, Wisconsin, homeowners and, citizens a tax break that really doesn't amount to much. In fact, one of the tax breaks would barely fill my car up with gas. And yet he signed that in public and touting how wonderful it was. But yet these controversial bills, he's not signing in the public eye. He's doing it behind closed doors. And I just think it's rather sad to see what's happening to our state. We're no longer a progressive state. We're, becoming a state where I'm just really sad that I say I'm from Wisconsin. And
Vicki, let me get a response. Do you have a comment on that?
I'm proud from Wisconsin. I happen to think that the decision the governor made, the way he has been behaved, is disconnected from the mainstream view of the people of Wisconsin. I think the real question is, do we want our legacy to be the ways in which we honor the best of our democratic society, or be known as the generation that threw out we the people and substituted it with we the privileged, now have the absolute political power? It seems like the governor and the right-wing Republicans, which is now the Republican Party. It's no longer the party that Dale Schultz proudly belong to. Just don't care about the responsibility to make reasoned, thoughtful decisions in the best interest of everyone. They're interested in winning at any cost. And that's why I say democracy is on a life support. I think it's very worrisome. Money is going to be the ultimate power, and the people's voice is going to be muted. And so elections make a difference, and November is going to be very critical.
Let me ask you a little bit more about the future. What do you think might happen next with that proposed mine, and what do you hope happens?
Well, what I think is going to happen, it's going to take years, contrary to the advocates and the governor and who said, let's get this thing done fast and we can have people, as the WMC said, we can have people, ground being broken in 2 years. It's going to take 5 to 7 years at the very least. The Corps of Engineers has already said that they won't be able to work with Wisconsin because we weakened our environmental laws, and particularly dealing with wetland. And so I think it's going to take considerable amount of time. I think it's highly possible that they never get the permits because of the various incredible environmental challenges with that mine. And if for some reason they get the mine permit in 5 to 7 years, I don't think it's going to be economically feasible to build it, or that they can get investors willing to put money in a project that has so little return. Mm-hmm. That's my theory.
What will you be watching, if anything, in particular, from your retirement?
Well, as I said the other day, when I suggested that someone suggested that I'll be in the trees, it says yes. I'll be enjoying that. I'll be able to see the trees through the forest in northern Wisconsin much better, and I won't be banging my head against the wall. But I am not. I don't think Senator Schultz or I or Senator Cohen are going to retire from our commitment to trying to make this a better, more fair and just society. I think we'll all use our energy and experience to try to improve our communities. In my case, Senator Cohen's doing a wonderful project on dealing with poverty, setting up a foundation. I'm going to spend a lot of time on citizenship and civic education. I think one of the real weaknesses is that we have people who are too enraged and not engaged, and or better yet, more inflamed and not informed. And we need to get people to understand that elections, or that democracy isn't just voting, it's critical, but it is about staying involved, informed, and really holding our officials accountable so that they make decisions. We had a very interesting bill regarding families who deal with children with epilepsy. It finally made its way through the process. I think the oral chemotherapy bill is another example where when you put a face on issues, people get engaged. The legislature responds. I wish more people had gotten engaged and enraged about some of those election bills. And so when people have to get more involved to assure that that you can hold people accountable. That oral chemotherapy bill passed. I thought it was a bad bill or amendment by the assembly, but the bill was on the floor, even though the leadership didn't want it because it became a public issue, mm-hmm. And so people have to continue to do that as much as they can.
Let me bring a caller in, Chris in Iron River. Hello, Chris.
Good morning. I just wanted to thank Senator Jim for, he always represented the people of his district, special interests, and was never in for, you were never in it for yourself either, and you know, I really appreciate all the hard work you've done through the years, and just hope you have a great retirement.
Well, that's very kind of you. I'm really proud to represent northern Wisconsin. I love northern Wisconsin. It is the most beautiful area in the state. But what I attempted to represent, I think Senator Schultz certainly did because he loves southwestern Wisconsin, refers to it as the 23rd Psalm. We learn so much from the people who we represent, who we serve, and the way they live their lives. And they're committed to community. They believe that they need to solve problems. They work together. They believe in partnerships, not partisanship. And I haven't been representing my views. I've been using my energy and commitment to represent their values and the way they live their lives in the hopes that the legislature might mirror their behavior. I think people just need to really keep at it, and hopefully we can turn this thing around. But I must admit, I'm becoming very worried.
Well, Diane emails, Bob Jauch has the highest integrity and has the respect of the citizens of the North, of which I am one. He cares deeply about our state, the environment, and the people and its citizens, and not the billionaires who have invaded our state and exploited our common resources. We need more Bob Jauchs in the world. He will be missed, and we wish him the best. In our final minute, Senator Jauch, do you have, a proudest moment that you'd like to share?
Well, my proudest moments are working with Dale Schultz and Tim Cullen on the mining bill. Our greatest accomplishments in Wisconsin have always been those times in which we work together, in which we solve the problems that are sustained over time. And when people do love living in Wisconsin for its good quality of life, its schools, and for the traditions that are so important. Let's just hope that we can get back to the legislature representing those views as well.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Bob Jauch is a Democratic state senator from Poplar who is not running for re-election. We'll talk to another retiring state senator, Dale Schultz, after we check the latest news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. State Senator Dale Schultz of Richland Center joins us in this half hour to talk about his farewell address before the State Senate this week, his time in office as he is retiring, the state of Wisconsin politics today, and his hopes for Wisconsin's future. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 7:37 on this Thursday, April 3rd. Four longtime state senators gave their final speeches before the state senate on Tuesday. We just heard from Democratic State Senator Bob Jauch in our last half hour. State Senators Tim Cullen of Janesville and John Lehman of Racine have been or will be invited to join us or on our afternoon call-in show Central Time. We'll welcome your questions and your comments for Senator Schultz at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Dale Schultz is a retiring Republican state senator from Richland Center. Good morning. Thank you for being with us.
Good morning.
So in your farewell speech, Senator Schultz, you talked about why you ran as a Republican when you first ran and were elected to the Assembly in 1982, and that you were really proud of that. Why were you so proud to be a Republican back then?
Well, I think these days there are a lot of politicians or would-be politicians who like to talk about core values, and my core values are the same now is when I ran, and they come from an admiration and a knowledge of those that came before me. The father of the Republican Party, as I think everybody can identify, is Abraham Lincoln. And why do we admire Abraham Lincoln? He was somebody who believed deeply in human dignity and equal rights for everybody. It's why he freed the slaves. And people oftentimes forget or don't realize that the radical Republicans at that time not only wanted to free the slaves, they wanted to immediately give them the right to vote. And that's part of the heritage. I think about Teddy Roosevelt, whose picture I have behind my desk in the Capitol. If that picture isn't there as a shield, it's meant to be an inspiration. A man who understood and appreciated the value of our environment. He certainly did believe in the utilization of natural resources, but preserving and protecting them was a big part of his life. And I think about Dwight Eisenhower. He's somebody who certainly believed in investing in America and investing in public works that would be available to the population broadly. The highway system that we enjoy now really began, in its modern iteration under Dwight Eisenhower. And in 1957, it was Dwight Eisenhower who was the champion of the Voting Rights Act. And finally, when I ran, I ran at the same time Ronald Reagan did. And the reason I admire Ronald Reagan was because he was the kind of person who understood that politics can't be personal, that we have to solve problems, his ability to sit down with Tip O'Neill and save Social Security, a guy he argued with and fought with politically his whole life, in a genial way with a handshake, is something that's disappearing. And I think a lot of people are just now beginning to realize how important those skills are. That's why I'm proud of the Republican Party, and I think that Republican Party is worth fighting for.
Are you proud of the Republican Party in Wisconsin today?
Well, let's say I am disappointed. I have said publicly many times that I worry that the Republican Party of Lincoln and Roosevelt, Eisenhower and Reagan is being replaced by the party of Maddox, Wallace, Cruz and Bachman. And I don't see those two political parties as reconcilable. I don't care how big the tent is, they just diametrically have views that are so different. So I sort of believe it's important to fight for what you believe in, because that's not the Republican Party that, you know, I joined, that I've felt, you know, had the same core values that I had.
Yeah. We try to be civil and polite on Wisconsin Public Radio, but I did post your farewell speech on our Facebook page, and a listener, presumably a conservative listener, just posted the word RINO, Republican in name only. What's your reaction to that?
Well, you know, come on, I think most of us grow up and we know what the schoolyard's like. When people can't express themselves, they name call. And, you know, I wonder about people like that. Do they believe that we're still the party of Abraham Lincoln? Do they believe in their core values were formed by Teddy Roosevelt? Do they believe that their core values spring from Dwight Eisenhower and Ronald Reagan? I submit to you, none of those gentlemen would be welcomed in the Republican Party in some circles today. And probably they'd be called rhinos, too. But you know what? Name-calling never really hurts anybody. And, you know, if that's the limit to their ability to express themselves, I guess I'm saddened, but it isn't going to affect me.
Why isn't there seemingly a place for more moderate Republicans right now?
Well, you know, I think I've been in this business 49 years. I'm retiring after 32 years in the legislature, but I started out at about 12 years old, and I've seen a lot of ebbs and flows in politics, and I try not to get overly excited about it. I think we're going through a period of time when partisanship on both sides of the aisle is getting more extreme, and if you talk to Bob Jauch or Tim Cullen, they would tell you that their lives have been made very difficult the last few years, and Madison, as they tried to move the Democratic Party back to the center. You know, a lot of people have suggested I've moved to the left, but, you know, I'm probably the only guy who moved to the left by standing still. I just sort of feel like the Republican Party has moved way to the right. And there's a price to be paid for that, but, you know, I think it's important for people to stand up and remember that the principal job of all politicians is to solve problems. And that takes continued participation by citizens, and they need to insist on that. And I think when people don't do that, and we have the kinds of changes that we've seen recently with campaign financing, money starts to speak. People want efficiency who make those investments, and then things get hardened and extreme, and people are less interested in solving problems. They just want to win. And the process takes on all the charm of the gangs of New York.
Yeah. Well, you broke party ranks or the party line vote more than once in recent years. You did vote with Democrats on some pretty controversial issues like Act 10, that removed collective bargaining rights from most public employees. Why did you do that?
Well, the first thing I want to say is, and I want to be clear about it, we had a fiscal problem and it demanded shared sacrifice, and it's not easy to go to people and look them in the eye and say you need to be a part of that. And there were a lot of people who on the left who wanted to recall me, too, because I voted for Governor Walker's budget that called for shared sacrifice. And, you know, it's my feeling, and I did offer an alternative that would have taken a little bit bigger bite or required a little bit bigger contribution by public workers for their pension, but suspended collective bargaining rights and would have given them back, you know, a couple years down the road. I did that because I thought we did have a fiscal problem. But what I saw my colleagues willing to vote for, I knew would be an affront to human dignity and was too extreme. And I think largely the fact that we had 110,000 people, you know, pour onto the square around Madison is evidence of that. And I know some would suggest that they were all out-of-state agitators. Anybody who took the time to get on there and look at that, and those demonstrations were largely peaceful, would realize that an incredible number of our fellow citizens came down and said, this is not acceptable.
Yeah.
And so that's, in the end, what I did is I listened to my constituents. I spent a lot of time without telling people, you know, what I was going to do because I didn't know exactly. I went out and listened to my constituents around South Central and Southwestern Wisconsin, and 500-600 people would show up a night. I'd have to stand in a very lonely way in front of them, tell them that I was there to listen to them, and at the end of the night, I would quickly try to summarize what I heard, and I would take very careful notes, and if I didn't answer anybody's questions or respond adequately, I would stay afterwards. And what people told me is that they thought that the bill was too extreme, and like I said, in my farewell speech, you know, I always sort of thought that was the way it was supposed to be. Listen to your constituents and vote accordingly. And I think I also said politics shouldn't be a straitjacket. To my way of thinking, it's a lens. It's sort of how you view things. And it's sad when we have the process evolve to the point where you can no longer listen to your constituents because party discipline is the only thing that matters.
Ben emails, please ask Senator Schultz to run as a Republican against Scott Walker. We need a balanced alternative to the extreme in power now. So is that in the cards for you, Senator Schultz?
Well, you know, I have received a lot of letters and notes of encouragement from many people across my district and from across the state, and it's flattering. But I've run for Congress. I always tell people proudly that I did pretty well. I finished in second place. It's an enormous physical challenge, particularly when you don't have the amount of money that it now seems to require, $50, $60 million. So what I usually tell people when they make that comment is, I'll tell you what, you get me the first million and we'll sit down and talk. I've watched Tim Cullen and some of my other colleagues test the water, and I think there's just a reality about the money, particularly nowadays, that's hard to overcome. And again, my situation with retiring is really about my family and particularly my wife and a desire to spend a little more time with them. And as flattering it is to think about having a chance to run for governor, I've made my decision.
Well, we are talking with Dale Schultz. He is a Republican state senator from Richland Center who is retiring at the end of his current term. We are welcoming your questions for him, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. 10 minutes before 8 o'clock now on this Thursday, April 3rd. We are welcoming your calls, questions, comments for Dale Schultz, who is a retiring Republican state senator from Richland Center. He gave his farewell address on Tuesday before the state Senate. Let's take some calls. Joe in River Falls is with us. Hello, Joe.
Jim.
I'm sorry, Jim. Thanks. Go ahead.
Thanks for having the program. I just wanted to call and thank Dale Schultz for his service and his integrity. I'm more progressive. I, I guess I'm kind of frustrated with both political parties at this point. I think lobbyists and major donors control so much of both parties and dictate what gets legislated. And I, he mentioned that the there's more extremes in both parties. I'm not sure that's the case. I think that if Dwight Eisenhower were to run today, he'd be left of Barack Obama at this point. You know, I think whatever party, I think we need people of integrity like Eisenhower or Dale Schultz to be in office and run for political party and not be so influenced by the lobbyists and corporations.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. So what about the state of money in politics and special interest influence in politics, Senator Schultz?
Well, people complain to me now about campaign commercials and about having an opportunity to be heard when their right to free speech is being drowned out by, you know, just obscene amounts of money. We haven't seen anything yet, and I think many of your listeners completely understand what I'm talking about. And let me just use this opportunity to put a plug in for something that I believe in, and more needs to be done than this, and that is the move to amend. I think the Supreme Court has done an incredible injustice to, you know, the long-cherished right to free speech in this country by what it has done. I, as a Republican, tend to be pro-business, and I certainly think business needs to be heard in the public square, but I don't think they should own it or have the ability to shout down every other voice. And to me, that's sort of what's happening. And, you know, you look at what happened in Iron County and Kenosha this last election cycle, it's the shape of things to come, and everybody listening needs to understand that this is only going to get substantially worse. And eventually it will come to their community, and they should be outraged, and justifiably so. And, you know, I just think it's very important for people to have a new reawakening about the need for citizenship in all its forms and being engaged, and to do it in a way that respects the rights of others, but to be as determined as they can. I don't want things to spin out of control. I worry about that a lot. I think our democratic institutions are way more fragile than people understand.
Yeah.
And yet at the same time, the way to strengthen them is citizen involvement.
What was wrong with the Tea Party group Americans for Prosperity getting involved in the Iron County Board Supervisors race or the Kenosha?
Let's just be clear about Americans for Prosperity. People keep referring to them as a Tea Party group. Look, this is nothing more than a corporate-funded shell. You know, where are these people, Americans for Prosperity? What dues did they pay? You can't get a list of who's a member of Americans for Prosperity. You can't get any financial accountability. Look, this is just another clever name, and these groups will evolve. They will have different iterations. More of them will be set up. They'll have similar nice-sounding names. But the fact of the matter is this has nothing to do with people, and there are people out there who call themselves Tea Party people, and God bless them. They're wonderful people, and they're entitled to their views. But I'm not willing to concede to Americans for Prosperity that they are a people in the sense that I know people, because you can't get a list of them anywhere. They don't hold public rallies other than highly publicized events where every conservative in the world is called to come down and be a part of. You know, to me, they're just a corporate-funded shell for media purposes.
Let me also ask you before we run out of time, one of your most recent issues that you and Senator Cullen have been working on is this move to try to change the way Wisconsin redistricts for election purposes. What would you like to see?
Well, I'd like to see what they have in Iowa. They've had it for 40 years. Nobody has put in a bill to change it. What it does is save the taxpayers a lot of money, because a nonpartisan fiscal or bureau-type agency in that state puts together the plan. the legislature does vote on it. They're free to amend it, but they never do, or they don't amend it very much. And the net result is that there are many more competitive elections. When I got elected, we had, I think, 10 congressmen, or shortly before that, we had 10 congressmen, and 9 out of the 10 seats were competitive. We now have 8, and none of them are. Doesn't it make sense to you and to the listeners that those people are not beholden to us anymore? They're beholden to the people who draw the maps and who provide the money.
Yeah, let me get.
I think that's a tragedy.
Karen in Green Bay is with us. Hi, Karen.
Hello.
Karen, go ahead, please. Karen, are you there? Because we're almost out of time. Oh, well, that's too bad. She really wanted to thank you for your service, and I had some other things to say. So let's go to Rick in Grafton. Hi, Rick.
Good morning. I'll be very brief. I was raised by World War II generation. I'm a tail end of the baby boomers, and the integrity that that generation had was amazing. I also watched the generation after them fight in college over everything, and I think that this is a generational symptom where they were raised to not compromise. I became a Republican with Ronald Reagan, and I guess for those younger politicians that are listening right now, bring back the integrity to politics. Give it back to the people.
A reaction to that, Senator Schultz?
I couldn't agree more. Well said.
So what is your hope for the Wisconsin's future, and what are your future plans?
Well, first of all, I intend to spend a lot more time with my wife and wonderful children. I think the things we do in life that matter begin and end with family. And I've had 32 wonderful years of opportunity, and I'm just going to reflect a little bit. I have tons of energy and passion, as I'm sure you and the listeners can tell, and I'll find a way that is useful and productive. I'll look back on a career where I had the opportunity to be a part of teams of tremendous, highly motivated, passionate people in my district to make our little part of the world better. It is a 23rd sound place, as Lee Sherman Dreyfus used to say. And I'll take special pride in knowing that I was there helping to compromise and create something as wonderful as the Lower Wisconsin Riverway, something that I will always remember. And while I may have fought tooth and nail many times with Spencer Black, at the end of the day, we gave the locals a huge amount of authority, and we have met the test of time after 25 years. And I think I'll also appreciate very much having the opportunity to be the leader when we signed into law Wisconsin I, with mm-hmm. something which I think is a wonderful tool for citizenship, which allows people to be involved. I certainly didn't do either of these by myself, but I got to be a part of teams that brought them into place, and I think they're great contributions to the fabric of life in Wisconsin.
Thank you so much for being with us, and I hope Senator Dale Schultz will consider being on Wisconsin Public Radio in the future as well.